1 Samuel 21 verse 1 says, "Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from woman. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, woman have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. The priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David led up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Then in Psalm 56, you may look it up, or if you want me just simply to read it, it says in verse 1, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Thus reads God's word. We know he'll bless this public reading to all our hearts. The last time we looked at David, this man after God's own heart, we looked at 1 Samuel 19 and some verses in Psalm 59. And we saw David coping with a very difficult experience. We noted where to turn in times of trouble. Beloved, we all know that the Christian life at times is not easy. There are times when all of us find the going extremely tough. There are times when our lives can very suddenly change course, and they bring us into what you and I might term stormy waters. There are times when doubts and difficulties would seek to overwhelm us, and we need to know how to cope when those times inevitably come. David had entered such a time in his own experience, for he had entered a very lonely period in his life. We looked at his problem, and he was in a desperate situation. He knew he needed God's help and deliverance. We noted his prayer, for he turned and he cried out to God with a great sense of need and helplessness, for he was in the midst of a crisis that only God could help him with. We noted his patience, for although God didn't deal with David's crisis immediately. David knew if he waited that God had everything in control and everything would ultimately work out for David's good. That's why David was able to praise the Lord. He turned his prayer into praise, for he knew that God was his defense and his strong tower and a refuge in his time of trouble. But today, as we come back to 1 Samuel 21 here, I want you to see what it is to be coping with the problem of fear. Coping with the problem of fear. It seems as you look at David's life at this particular time that everything was spiraling out of control. David didn't know where to run to. David didn't know who to turn to. David really didn't know what to do. To use an Ulsterism, we could say that David was moving from pillar to post. He has left his home and his family. He's now without friends. He has visited godly Samuel, but again he had to leave for his own safety. He's on the run like a fugitive, even though he had already been anointed as king over Israel. And he's fearful for his life. And even though he's trusting in God and he's praising God and he's waiting patiently for God to bring about an end to this crisis, it seems that nothing was happening and David had no respite. When we come here to 1 Samuel 21, he's not just in a state of exile, he's begging bread and he's in fear for his life. Now some of us today might wonder about that and say to ourselves, well, this is a very strange story. After all, Pastor, if this man is a man after God's own heart, and this man has already been anointed as king over Israel, and this is the man that God has set his favor upon, why is this man's life in such a mess? If this was God's choice, why did God permit this to happen to him? And why is he in such a state? Well, beloved, there are some things in life to which there are no easy answers. The fact is, sometimes God in his providence allows things to happen. And he uses those things to change our lives and to mold our characters and to bring us through things that are important not just for him but to us. And sometimes he just doesn't give us a reason. I've stood in many a home. I've stood at many a graveside and I have stood at many a bedside, where people have simply in the midst of a crisis and not understanding the circumstances that they find themselves in, they have turned around and said to me, well, Pastor, why has this happened to me? Why is my family going through this? Pastor, as you know, we are trying desperately hard to be the people that God wants us to be. We never miss this. We never miss that. We do all kinds of things for the good of the work. Why is it we find ourselves in this place? I don't know. And I've often had to say to them, I don't know. The only thing I do know is this, that God's ways are not our ways. And that his thoughts are far above our thoughts. And even though we might not have all the answers to all of the problems, beloved, you and I must keep trusting in God. And we must allow him to order all our ways. I know that's not easy when the bottom has just fallen out of your world. I know that's not easy when your marriage has just crumbled. I know it's not easy when your health has hit rock bottom and you're seriously struggling daily just to survive. And I know it's not easy when you're brought in and you're told that your employment is about to be severed. And that's not easy when all your hopes have been crushed beneath your feet. But the reality is that even in circumstances like that, God is continuing to work out his plan and purpose for us. And even if we can't understand it, God does. Let me mention two things today about this experience of David. I want you to see the fear that marked his life. That's the first thing. The fear that marked his life. Knowing that Saul was determined to kill him, David met with Jonathan. You can read that story when you go home if you're following through the life of David in 1 Samuel 20. You'll remember they devised a plan, and the arrows were shot down into the field. And when this plan revealed that Saul was out to kill him, then David left his friend Jonathan in tears. And he came to this place, Nob, and he's confronted by the priest Ahimelech. Now listen to what Ahimelech says to him. He looks at David and he knows there is something wrong, and he says to David, "Why are you alone and there is no man with you?" Nob was known as the city of the priests, about a mile northeast of Jerusalem. It belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. The tabernacle was pitched there at that time. It seems that David went there for comfort and for counsel. He was hoping that somehow he might find a place of safety. Ahimelech knew something wasn't right, and David ended up telling him lies, that he was on the king's business. In fact, he was on the run. And David requested bread from Ahimelech, and he wanted something that would help him. And then all of a sudden, David sees Doeg. And he knows he's the chief herdsman for Saul, and he knows that ultimately when Doeg leaves here, he's going to make his way back to Saul's court, and he's going to say, "Saul, you know, I saw David. Where did you see him?" "Nob." And David knew that his life would be threatened yet again. But you know, there's a very interesting comment here. In 1 Samuel 21 verse 10, it says this: David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul. David rose, fled that day for the fear of Saul. Here's a man living in fear of his life. Everything's against him. Circumstances are becoming increasingly more difficult. He's now getting to the stage where he has nowhere to hide. He has nobody to turn to. You even find him here going down to Gath, to King Achish, to live amongst his very enemies, because Achish was one of the lords of the Philistines. These were David's enemies. And David was not only foolish enough to go down into the lord of the Philistines and be in Achish, but here he is and he's brought with him the sword of Goliath, the very sword he had taken the head of Goliath with. And where did Goliath come from? He came from Gath. And here's David amongst these people, and the people look at him and they say, "Is this not the man that the people were singing to about thousands and tens of thousands?" And David, so filled with fear, he begins to scrabble on the gates. And he allows the spittles to run down his beard. And Achish simply turns around and says, "Get rid of them. I have enough madmen here without having another one." And where does David go? Well, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Fear's a terrible thing. And yet many of us have not been held tightly in its grip at one time or another. Janice Roos was a young shoemaker. He lived during the Second World War and watched many of his family and friends die at the hands of the Nazi regime. Because they lost their lives and he knew his own life was under threat, he was filled with great fear. He returned to his sister's farmhouse in the country that had been evacuated, and there he hid for the next 32 years. He was so afraid he only went out at night to search for food. He was so afraid he wouldn't even attend his own mother's funeral when he heard that she was dead. And after 32 long years, his sister came back. She wanted to visit the farmhouse that they used to live in. She returned to the farmhouse, and then it was discovered that her brother Janus was still alive. For 32 years hiding. And he told his sister that if he hadn't have been discovered that day, if she hadn't have come, he would still have been in hiding. Fear is a terrible thing. And fear is always the enemy of our faith. And yet many great saints of God have had to overcome fear in their lives. I could give you a long list of people today from Scripture. I won't, but I'm going to mention one or two in passing. Because these are men and women of faith, most of them, who all had to cope with this problem of fear. Abraham. This is the man that God called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and we know that Abraham moved out on the instructions of God. He went in faith, not knowing where he was going, but knowing that God would one day show him. And although Abraham's whole life bears testimony to a walk of deepening and developing faith, there were times he must have wondered what it was that God was doing behind the scenes. And God so much had to come to him and say to him, Abraham, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And God reminded Abraham he would be faithful to the promises he had made to Abraham. There was no need to fear. Hagar. Remember her? Sarah gave this maid Hagar to Abraham, and patiently they weren't waiting for God to fulfill the promise of a son. Hagar falls pregnant by Abraham, despises her mistress, gives birth to a son Ishmael, heads out into the desert, and God finds her in a place called Beher Lahai-Roi. And God says to her when she was at her wit's end, Hagar, do not be afraid, for I know where you are, and I know what you're facing, and I have been watching over you. Do not be afraid. Moses. Remember how Pharaoh would stubbornly refuse to listen to God? And remember how the children of Israel themselves had rejected Moses? But Moses continued to do what God asked him to do, and when they left Egypt and they found themselves in that cul-de-sac in Exodus 14, with no way out, just starting out on their way to the promised land, and all of a sudden there's difficulty, and it seems death is before them. They can't get through the Red Sea, and Moses is at its end, and God says to him, Moses, listen, do not be afraid. You just stand still and see today the salvation of the Lord. Joshua, starting out in a new task, how am I going to do it? God says, Joshua, do not be afraid. I could go on this morning with one reference after another, thinking of those we find on the pages of Scripture, and they're there for our learning. And all of them had to cope with this problem of fear. And maybe this morning there's something in your life and it has gripped your heart too. Fear of the future. Pastor, I'm not well. Things don't appear to be good. I'm facing difficult days and I'm fearful. God says to you, but don't be afraid, because your times are in my hands. Don't be afraid. And some of us today may be waiting on results from tests, or have been in and out, and we're not just sure what the future holds for us, and we're worried about it, and it's weighing us down, and we don't know how to cope. And God says, listen, don't be afraid, for I have everything in my control. There's no need for you to fear. Maybe today we're waiting to go to see somebody. It might be the doctor, it might be somebody else. And it's weighing us down, it has crippled us with fear, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know where it might end up. And God says, but don't be fearful, because I'm acquainted with all your ways. And you can say to me today, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say that, because you're not in my shoes and you're not in my situation. Well, you don't know where I am today. And you don't know what I'm facing.
But the fact of the matter is this, we all find ourselves sometimes in a similar place. And God's answer to all of us is still the same. Do not be afraid. You trust in me? You really believe me? Then you leave it with me. David was fearful. And considering the circumstances he found himself in, that was understandable. But I want you to note something else. There's not just a fear that marked his life. I want you to see the faith that made the difference. This is where we come now to those verses in Psalm 56. Most commentators agree that Psalm 56 and Psalm 34 were written during this difficult period in David's life when he's on the run. Now listen to what he says in Psalm 56. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there are many that fight against me, O thou most high." Now stand in David's shoes for a moment. See where he is. Look at what he's facing. He's overwhelmed by his circumstances. He felt he doesn't have a friend in the world. The enemies are closing in all around him, and fear has gripped his life. Was there any hope for this man in his situation? Well, look at what he says in verse 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's it, isn't it? Simply. What time I am afraid, David says, I will trust in thee. And what David was saying is this: Lord, I have nobody else. I'm at rock bottom. Everybody's against me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I'm fearful about all of this. But when I am afraid, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And sometimes that's difficult. But that's the answer to our fears. It's the only way we can conquer them, by trusting in God, especially when we don't know what is going on all around us. Beloved, it's important to stay focused on God. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust you, Lord. I can't see the end from the beginning like you can. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But when I'm afraid, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hold on to you. And even when the storms are raging all around me and I feel as if I'm drowning, I'm going to remember your promise that when I pass through the waters, you will be where? With me. With me. Isn't it good to know today in your situation and mine, whatever it might be, that God is acquainted with all our ways? Not just some of them. Not just the good times. Not just the bad times, but all our times. And that's why we often sing, do we not, "My times are in thy hands, my God, I wish them there. My life, my soul, my friends, I leave entirely to thy care." What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh, I'm not suggesting for one moment it's an easy thing to do. And I'm not suggesting for one moment I've learned the secret of it. But there's no other way that we'll cope, and there's no other way that we'll conquer our fears if we don't stay focused on Him. Two explorers who were on a jungle safari were suddenly confronted with a ferocious-looking lion. And that lion jumped out in front of them. "Stand still and keep calm," one man said to the other man. "Remember what we read in that book about wild animals? If you keep perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he'll turn and he'll run away." "That's great," said the other man. "You've read the book, and I've read the book. But has the lion read the book?" You see, beloved, you and I have read the one book that really matters.
That book is filled with assurances. It's filled with promises. And they're there to help us cope with the pressures and problems of life, so that we'll not be overwhelmed, but so that we'll look up onto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and so that we too can say, what time I am afraid, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. Sometimes there are times in life when we can't do anything else. Sometimes there are times when, like David, we have run from pillar to post. And sometimes we just have to stop and say, well, listen, Lord, I can't deal with this. I don't even know what's happening to me. I don't even know if I can cope anymore with all of this. But what time I am afraid, I will trust you. I'll trust you. You might say to me, but Pastor, hold on a moment. I know where you're coming from. And I know that you're genuinely trying to help me and encourage my heart today. But what if I can't understand the reason for this crisis in my life? What if I have done nothing wrong and yet everything seems to be against me? Well, David didn't understand it either. And David had done nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing to deserve what he was going through. But he knew in the midst of his darkness that God could still be trusted. You going to trust him today? Am I going to trust him today? Am I going to leave things in his hands, knowing he does all things well? Or am I going to live in fear of today and tomorrow and all my tomorrows until Jesus comes or calls? It would be best today, like David, when all things seem against us, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. A lovely hymn tells us this by way of assurance, and I'll close here. When the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. He will hide me, safely hide me, where no harm can e'er betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me. Where? In the shadow of his hand. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's how we'll cope. And that's how we'll conquer. We have to keep looking up, and we have to keep trusting in him. Now let's bow together in prayer. Father, we acknowledge that at times our faith is weak. We acknowledge there are circumstances sometimes that come into our lives. Not only do they overwhelm us, but they fill our hearts with fear. And our Father, we're glad today to say that even though we don't know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. And our Father, would you make it that each of us would be able to say today and really mean it, that what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. We praise you that you know the end from the beginning. We praise you that you have everything in control. We praise you, our Father, that you're always there for us. And if there are some here sitting today whose hearts are gripped with fear about their health, about their home, about their business, about their job, Father, those hearts gripped with fear, may they learn today the secret and the necessity of trusting in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.